I've had the privilege for a couple of days here in Oslo to meet with Dr. Greg Livingstone, the founder and director for many years of Frontiers International, a ministry that seeks to bring people around the world to do apostolic ministry in Muslim nations, creating church planting teams, apostolic teams for the long haul to build relationally and to bring the church and kingdom structures into Muslim background nations. He's been hosted here in Norway these days by Jon Petter and Jenny Feidal, the directors of Frontiers in the Nordic countries. They have been missionaries in a Muslim nation for more than 15 years and have a vast experience as they are now bringing Nordic missionaries and apostles to these Muslim nations of the world. Dr. Livingstone has a wealth of experience and insights, and today we had a two-hour session with some of us who are in church and missions leadership in Norway, and we were able to interact with Dr. Livingstone, and I wanted you to hear some of what he said today. I'm sorry for some of the sounds. There's a baby that's making some nice noises, etc., but I think you will really enjoy these minutes with Dr. Greg Livingstone.
I love God's whole church around the world, but I think I have a special affection for Great Commission Christians, people who have lifted up their eyes, as Jesus said, and looked at the sheep that are scattered, that don't have a shepherd. And I think all of you qualify for that. I think we have to remind our fellow Christians that we're here on a rescue operation. It's a very serious one, and it's particularly interesting in these days that God must have been impatient about us getting to these Muslim countries so that he's allowing them to come pouring into Europe. I don't know if you've been in Syria, but the history of mission is my field, and I happen to be aware that the Syrians, who are now refugees, likelihood 99% of them, when they lived in Syria before the shooting started, probably had no contact with any kind of a Christian, maybe an Orthodox Christian who wouldn't be witnessing to them. And so these are people who, for the first time in their lives, are meeting people who know the Lord. We hope they're meeting people who know the Lord. We're going to get a little commercial over here from my sister about a course to help people make the gospel make sense to these Syrian Muslims and the other Muslims that are coming in this. And I understand how the people who don't have God's heart are going to be resentful, and they're going to be fearful, like the people in France right now. But we've got to be different. We show that we're moved with compassion. Because I really believe this is God's hour for the Muslims. I was just sharing earlier that historically, nearly all the missionaries up to 1978, Protestants who went to Muslim countries, very quickly diverted away from the Muslims to the other peoples, particularly Orthodox Christians, because they didn't seem to know the Lord, they didn't know the Bible, they had a lot of superstitions, they were a bad testimony to the Muslims. And so mission leaders said, oh, you've got to win them Christians to really know the Lord first, and then they'll witness to the Muslims, was the idea. You know, after all, they know the languages. But that's a 150-year-old strategy that hasn't worked. And if you think about it, it's understandable, because these Christian people and Muslim peoples have been bashing each other for 1,400 years. And that builds up a little bit of resentment. So when I spoke to a Christian leader in Egypt back in 1971 about the fact that 90% of the country was Muslim, and what was the church doing about it because these Muslims were going to hell, he looked this way and that way and said,
best place for them. And this is a godly, Bible-believing, exemplary person. I mean, it goes downhill from there. And so that's why we still need Western missionaries who are expensive and have many problems and so forth. But not to scold the Christians in the Muslim countries, but to show them that that Jesus can open the eyes and save Muslims. But at the same time, I'm reminded that in Turkey, probably at least a half a dozen of the leading Turkish pastors were saved in Germany and went back. Some of them had German wives because they didn't know if they could find a Christian Turk. So let's pray that happens again. That Syrians will come to the Lord here, that Albanians, that others, and then that they will go back and be leaders among their people. But they won't go back without our encouragement, because it's a pretty frightening, overwhelming idea. But I really believe this is God's hour for the Muslim peoples. And that's after being involved with Muslims now 53 years. When I first was challenged by George Verwer, which is in the book, who stuck his finger in my face and said, "You've got Libya." I thought, I know it's one of those islands off Florida. Just give me a minute. I had no awareness of the rest of the world. Got into a prayer group and started... made that big mistake of praying for laborers for the Arabs, and you can guess the rest of the story, that God was so gracious that he said, "I can even use you, Greg, and I want you to join my team." So we've had the privilege of mainly being a sheepdog, getting other people in, getting them started, and then going back and getting some more, so that... we're kind of related to about 1,700 missionaries to Muslims from many different countries. And we're looking forward to a fulfillment of Luke, I think it's 16:9. Mm-hmm. It says about friends who will welcome you into eternal dwellings. Mm-hmm. And I get excited about that, you know, that people that you've touched, who've touched others, and... we're going to meet all these people that we've never met on this earth who were part of that chain link.
Greg, can I ask you, what led you to decide to start a new agency at the Frontiers?
Basically, because it was a quantitative problem. There just weren't enough people out there to do it. There were lots of good workers, but historically, as I just mentioned, people that even went to Muslim countries would work with non-Muslims. And so then Frontiers had the first premise is, if you talk to anybody that's not a Muslim, we cut your hands off. You know, contextualizing with the Muslims. But the serious side is that it's too easy to get diverted. And so Frontiers' first condition was Muslims only. I had to relent later and say, well, okay, if someone comes to you that's not a Muslim and says, "What must I do to be saved?" You have 20 minutes. Don't turn them away. But it's really only been since 1978 that God's people have realized, you know, the Bible doesn't say, go and make disciples of all nations if you can get a missionary visa, which was the assumption of the mission agencies and churches. Well, of course, you have to get a missionary visa. Well, the missionary visa was invented by the colonial powers. So for 1,800 years, people had to go to where and spread the gospel without any missionary visas. So we're back to normal now, you see. Find a way to get in, stay in, that makes sense to the people you're with, and make disciples from from whatever that situation is. And so it is happening. And it is true that David Garrison's book, A Wind in the House of Islam, he's a very good historian, and he's done his research, and it is true, despite all the exaggerated stories, that more Muslims have bowed the knee to Christ since the year 2000 than in the previous 1,400 years. So think about that. You know, is this not God's time? Now, it's also brought fury in the kingdom of darkness. What would you expect Satan to react to? You know, Satan is alive and well, as they say. And so he has to be furious that this breakthrough is happening among Muslim peoples that have been captured in the kingdom of darkness. And so he who Jesus described as coming to kill and destroy is the real enemy that's motivating the people who are killing and destroying. And so we need to remember they're not the enemy. They're dupes of the enemy, who it's a Satan's kingdom himself, and help other Christians to realize that you know, we're not against the Muslims, we're against the Prince of Darkness, who's deceiving them, and have a tiny bit of respect for the jihadists, because they're actually the most consistent Muslims. They're actually obeying their book. They're the Great Commission Muslims, who believe that if you can't win them by preaching, force them to become Muslims, because this is God's will. So now that's some of them. Others are just say that, oh, here's a license to get out of my anger and my frustration, and I can shoot people in the name of God. Plenty of those kind as well. But we need to help people realize that God is sovereign, and he's going to use all this misery and suffering to build his kingdom. And so I'm very sad on one hand about all the suffering, but really praying that God's people, particularly in Europe, will not miss the opportunity to make a friend. The vast majority of Muslims aren't going to come to Europe. But it is important that you reach the new ones while they're new. I'm trying to plant a church with a team in England among the Pakistanis, Pakistani Muslims. There's 1.2 million Pakistani Muslims in Britain. And it's very, very difficult. Why? Because they've been there for three generations. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They have surrounded the wagons, we say in the cowboy movies, and they don't need us anymore. They're large enough communities, you see. Mm-hmm. So why do you want to be my friend? Mm-hmm. But when they're first coming here is when they're really open to Christian love and Christian friendship. And so let's not miss this moment of opportunity. There's so many places. Anyone in the great city of Baghdad this week who is trying to reach out to either the Shia or the Sunni Muslim. Imagine, Baghdad, this is not a village, you know. And there are many other places that for all practical purposes, they aren't going to come here. And if someone doesn't go and live in their midst and help what Christians might be there to do friendship first. We lived in Malaysia. There's wonderful, wonderful, dynamic Chinese churches in Malaysia. Chinese coming to the Lord every week. But do you believe we can get any of them to befriend the Malay? It has been so slow. And they'll even take a course on how to witness to Muslims so that they can defend their own faith. But it's not with the compassion to win the Malay, which they say is illegal. We'll get in trouble. We'll lose our business. They might scratch our Mercedes. Because they're quite well off, generally speaking. And so there's still very much a need for Norwegians to go where the church isn't. And there's plenty of places where you can't support nationals, because there aren't nationals who are two things, able and willing. They might be able, but they're not willing, or they might be willing, but they don't, they've never had it modeled, so they don't know the first step of how would I befriend a Muslim? How, you know, they need friendship first as well. Enough said on that, but that's why Frontiers has 1,300 adults in 53 countries to be a catalyst to the whatever locals are there to have a burden for their neighbors that maybe historically, as I said, they don't like and need to be moved with compassion just like we do.
I don't know if you're familiar, Dr. Greg, about the situation in Norway where a lot of the discussion is about asylum seekers who become Christians for security's sake.
Sure.
How should we approach this? In my own church, we've had a lot of asylum seekers who have turned to the Lord, and we have some who are truly changed and others who have just been, you know, for comfort. What's your take on that?
Well, probably the same as Norwegians who have just joined the church because they like comfort. It's the same, but with the Pakistanis converts that we have that think they've done God a favor by becoming a Christian, we try to point out that a follower of Jesus is obedient. And so this week you need to tell another Muslim about Jesus. And if they don't want to be obedient to the Word of God, then they need to help them understand that you're not really a follower of Jesus yet. You might be aligning yourself with the Christians, but a Christian, a real believer, is someone who, and just, you know, give them the what we would say to anyone that is nominal Christian. I think we have to keep bringing him back to what it means to follow Jesus, as we would with anybody. And so we're saying to some, quote, Muslim converts, give me your badge back. We've got enough nominal Christians. We don't need another one, you know. And it is true. I mean, if you were a Syrian father of three kids in a tent in Jordan, and you figured out, you know, if I get baptized, I might get a ticket to the West. Well, you'd be pretty tempted to go through the thing as well. And so you're going to have a certain percentage of people who say, you know, this is where the grass is greener. And just bring that out in the open. We need to be honest. And if you're not really serious about following Christ, it's okay. We still love you. Please don't call yourself a follower of Jesus if you're not really... really interested in that, and I think that can be done in a loving, soft way without saying we're going to throw you out. You know, we still want you to come. We still want you to be part of us. Typically, evangelicals have thought you have to get converted first, and then you have to keep all the rules that Christians do and don't do, and then we'll really accept you as a believer, as one of us. Whereas we see Jesus let them belong to his group and taught them the Word of God, and then later they really came to faith. You know, who do you say that I am? And, you know, here's Thomas after the resurrection saying, my God, you really are God. And I think we have to realize that they may have to go through that transition of being a friend of Christians before they actually, that penny drops. I mean, it's a big thing for a Muslim to realize Jesus is a creator. Mm. You know, it's a big thing for a Westerner. So we don't need to insist that they've got all the doctrines straight on the front end, as long as they're committed to learning.